Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Shrews Views. It's season three. It's episode 34. I'm your host, Nathan Judah. Delighted to be joined by Shrewsbury Town reporter for the Shropshire Star. It is Mr. Ollie or Oliver Westbury. Ollie, fresh from a Bolton victory. How's it going, Bebe?
Yeah, good. I mean, it was a draw, but it feels like a win.
No, it is a win. It feels like a win. It's a point. Point of victory, mate. Which draws and wins are basically victories now.
Yeah, I wouldn't have put much money on us getting anything from the game yesterday morning. I am not going to lie. I saw a few tweets from some Shrewsbury fans saying, yeah, you'd be crazy to go to Bolton tonight. I just really did not expect them to kind of put in that display. But yeah, fresh. It was a late night last night, Judah.
Oh, you got to love that. Yeah, late night for both of us last night.
That is the beauty of being a club football reporter. That is it.
I mean, I did see you did tweet a picture of the food fair that was available at the old Reebok.
Yeah.
Didn't look particularly good. Some poppadoms there, a little bit of mouldy rice, maybe a lamb curry was the option.
Which it was a lamb curry. Are you a lamb curry man? Do you like lamb curry?
I mean,
you strike me as the kind of person who'd like lamb curry.
It depends if it's dry. I don't mean dry to like it's still got to be moist, but like I don't want it swimming in sauce. You want it, you know, you've got your protein there. Lamb, as long as it's not too fatty, it can be nice, but I can't imagine there's too many spring lambs that have been slaughtered, you know, freely in free range within 5 miles of proximity of the Reebok Stadium and prepared freshly there. So I mean, look, I might be doing Bolton's dinner ladies a disservice, but not for me.
It was, to be fair, I don't like lamb curry, but I had no choice because I was starving, so I had to eat it. So, but it was okay. It was okay. But James Bayliss, the club photographer, kind of came in and was like, no, I don't do lamb curry. And that's completely fine. But his choice of plate, which was quite funny, was just to pop it on with some bland rice on top.
It looks horrendous. It looks absolutely horrendous.
If you haven't seen the picture, you've got to scroll through my Twitter from last night and see it. We're all kind of like, James, are you all right, mate?
I was flicking through last night, enjoying my two double chicken breasts with mozzarella and pesto and sun-dried tomato while watching Dune 2. Or Dune 2.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
And saw that and I was like, crikey. And then I thought, oh, Ollie's at Reebok, bless him, unbelievable. Actually, that reminds me, what is on League One, because I know you've done a bit of Premier League this season, you've gone a bit of big time for a couple of games, maybe around the corner you might be joining potentially me in the near future. So obviously Premier League food, a bit different to League One food, but what's your best and worst, would you say, this season in terms of press food in League One?
Well, the worst is easy because some places you go to, you don't get anything. So
nothing, not a thing, not a bean.
So like, yeah. So
go on, name and shame.
I mean, you don't get Exeter. I was hoping Exeter would get relegated. A, it's miles away. There's no, you don't. There's not even a bench for your laptop. So like, you have to sit with your laptop on your lap.
Stop it.
And you get a hot drink. So it's very much a packed lunch jobby. Take my cucumber sandwiches and all that jazz. In terms of good, it's a bit cliche, isn't it? But Derby's pretty good. The only thing about Derby is I did say when I went there is have they only got one meal, because I've been to Derby twice and had cottage pie twice. But it was very nice. And the lamb curry, we had lasagna last year at Bolton. I remember it well, which was tasty. Decent. Reading was an unbelievable ground. I love going to Reading.
You do.
Great resort to Shrewsbury. The food itself was just was sandwiches, and it reminded me a little bit of a cricket tea.
Okay, well, we don't mind
so
that.
If anyone listens to this, then a bit of a cricket tea. But But yeah, so that's probably pretty much a lot of it. It's a very beige food. And to be fair, as the Shrewsbury Town media staff would know, and I've been telling them for ages, I'm trying to shred a few pounds at the moment. My figure is currently in the wobbly description. That's how I describe myself. I'm a bit wobbly.
Well, so that's what you get for pucker pies every other week, mate, at the old
at the old meadow. Yeah. So I've been trying to steer clear of the beige food as much as possible.
Yeah, no, I think that's a smart option. Right, let's talk about it then. Let's talk about the 2-2 draw that was a victory, because let's be honest, Ollie, now, oh, there's a few nervousness kicking around, and I get it, I understand it, but come on. They're in League One next season, aren't they?
That is being said by somebody who's not watched Shrewsbury very much this season.
I know, but come on, Ollie, you're fine
the game, now. You were at the game with me when we played Bolton last time, weren't you?
Yeah,
at home,
yeah, I was. Yeah.
Well, that was a good game. Yeah, as we both pull in faces. So I don't know. Yes, I would say so. I'm going to say 75-25.
95-5, Ollie, come on.
You reckon? Yeah, I mean, Cheltenham have got some tough games, haven't they? So they've got Shrewsbury's goal difference is not helpful.
No. By the way, I didn't realise how bad it was until the other day. I mean, it's third horrific. Worst in the league.
Horrific. Yeah, the goal scoring record's equally as horrific. Mm. So that's a fact. That is a factor that plays a part. So if Cheltenham win two games, that'll mean they'll be on the same points as Town, mm-hmm. but have a better goal difference. Obviously, there's other clubs involved in that as well. The difficulty for Cheltenham, I suppose, is more the fact of who they're playing against. They're playing Lincoln, mm-hmm. they're playing Peterborough, they're playing Stevenage, and they look like very tough games. All sides in the top nine all going for... I'm not sure the exact parameters, but you know they need to win. Lincoln need to win if they want to get in the playoffs. Peterborough will need to win too. So there's plenty still to play for those sides. So yeah,
it is amazing they're winning 16th and 17th. Charlton and Reading are above them. Yeah, it's slim. I mean, it's very slim. I think you're doing them a disservice there. But look, I get it. It's been a crazy season, but. Yeah, I mean, starved of goals. I mean, this looks scored two last night. Thank the Lord. But on average, it's just astonishing when you think Reading and Charlton, you know, 16th and 17th, the places above them have scored 30 goals more than them. It's quite staggering.
I think Alfie May, who's Charlton striker's close to scoring more goals than Shrewsbury's whole team.
Oh, don't.
I know.
So what was good last night, Ollie? What was good? What was decent last night? What were you pleased with? Would you say the best performances on the road? One of the best of the season?
I think so. I think you have to take that. I mean, probably the two best performances of the season would have been Derby away and Derby at home where they won 1-0. And Northampton on Paul Hurst's first game. They were the two real standouts for Shrewsbury. Mm. I feel as though, given how much pressure's on them, given the circumstances and the position that they find themselves in, I think it was an immensely important point for Town. I really do. And it was an immense performance. And it wasn't I've just been doing my player ratings and I was just looking at them. And Marco Morosi, he made a couple of saves, but he wasn't kind of. There's been games like Shrewsbury beat Port Vale and Marco Morosi won it for him. You know, if it hadn't have been him, then.
10.
Yeah. I gave him a 10, didn't I? Yeah. I think, and to be fair, part of that was because he was playing well, but part of that was because more of his consistency, the fact that he kept keeping teams out for Shrewsbury. So, yeah, It was a massive game, and I thought that they coped with Bolton pretty well, who appeared to choke under pressure, is basically what it looked like. A tactical switch to a three at the back. I mean, you would never, if you were a betting man, you'd have lost a lot of money trying to guess the team because Joe Anderson, who's been pretty much out in the cold, not involved since January the 7th was his last performance in the FA Cup clash against Wrexham, if you remember that far back. I mean, that's well over 3 months ago or 4 months ago since he last played. And he came back into the team on the left as they switched to a back three, and he produced an absolutely outstanding performance. And the team just were altogether in better 3-5-2, switched from the back four. Did that keep Bolton? Did that surprise Bolton? I suppose they would have prepped for Shrewsbury to play a four at the back, because that's pretty much what they've done all the way through under Hurst. So, yeah, that change, I think that helped. I thought players just played better. That, you know, they passed the ball better. You know, they were more organised. And Shrewsbury were just, they were fizzed up and they were up for it. And it's just a bit of a shame that they weren't like that on Saturday. Yeah. I'm very reluctant to criticise footballers for not trying, because I feel like that's at times it can be a bit of a lazy, I don't know, I just feel it's unfair. Like, it's easy for someone to say, oh, they're not trying. But I think, you know, when their manager is saying they need to run more, and quoting a quote from Pep Guardiola about if you don't run, that's on the dressing room wall, that if you don't run, you won't be in the team. I think that tells you all that you need to know, really, from that performance against Wickham on Saturday. Like, ultimately, if that's what your boss is saying, then there needs to be an uplift. And he got that. He got that. So I did have a feeling. I did have a feeling that I wasn't sure whether we'd get a point or we'd get a result, but I did think that we'd get a reaction from how bad they were against Wickham and how angry Paul Hurst was post-match.
I was going to say, he was angry. You say about not trying and stuff like that, but he was pretty strong in a post-match, wasn't he, after that Wickham game?
Yeah, he's brilliant, actually, post-match, because he says it how it is, and he doesn't bluff you. He doesn't, I mean, there's no BS.
Yes, I like that.
From him. Yeah,
that so might, that, that might that full version of that might get away with that in a couple of podcasts, but maybe not the Shrews one yet.
He's not trying to kind of pull the wool over your eyes post match. He comes out and he says it as it is, and he called a spade on Saturday, that it wasn't good enough. The players were booed off, and that was, you know, probably rightly so, that they weren't at their best. But, I mean, fair play to him. I did not expect him to produce the performance that they did yesterday at the Tough Sheet Community Stadium. But they did. And I must admit, it was probably the most excited that I've been covering Shrewsbury. Just simply that last 5 minutes, can Town hold on? But whilst kind of they're playing, Bolton are passing the ball around and trying to create an opportunity, I'm like frantically refreshing the scores on Flash Score to see what's happening elsewhere, you know, what's going on. Wickham have scored. And then I was like, oh, Wickham have scored in the 86th minute. Oh, please be Luke Lee. That is a brilliant story if Luke Lee kind of sends Port Vale down for Shrewsbury. And then you're kind of closely following the Cheltenham game. So it was really, really, I mean, considering it's been a fairly dull season to watch with Shrewsbury barely scoring any goals, it was a really exciting evening last night. At one stage, I was going to put in my match report on a whirlwind evening, but I thought that might be a slight stretch.
Unless there was a tornado in the area.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that the Shrewsbury fans wouldn't, you know, for their emotions, and to be fair, my emotions too, because a bit of a pit in my stomach, because, you know, I want Shrewsbury to stay up just as much as the next chap. So, that's true. The lamb curry too, and a bit of a chocolate rice cake for dessert as well. I was absolutely delighted that they managed to kind of produce that performance. I was really pleased for the players. You could see how much it meant to them, which is just, you know, fist pumping. You know when you see players fist pumping when they make a block or a clearance, or getting absolutely fizzed up, and that's what they were. Good on them. Good on them. Happy days.
In terms of Paul Hurst, in terms of what he's done since he's been at the club, do you feel that they're in a good position now going into next year and, you know, get this out of the way and they can have a good pre-season? They can hopefully get their SHIT together, hopefully, sign some players and be in a better position next season? I mean, it had to happen, didn't it? I'm sure the fans are pretty buzzing to have pull Hurst back, but do you feel like he's done above and maybe beyond what he was expected, or just about what you thought he would do at this stage, and, you know, coming into what was a difficult, well, very difficult situation?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough question. Points, yeah. I think, as a general rule, performances have been better under Hurst, especially especially when he first came in. There's been a couple of occasions where Town have stunk the place out. Lincoln away, Bristol Rovers away, and Wickham at home on Saturday. Their home form is a little bit questionable. It might be a question worth asking Paul about on Thursday. When we go and see him again, but the home form, it is an interesting one, because I can't quite put my finger on it, because the tides have completely turned. At the start of the season, couldn't win away from home under Matt Taylor, and then Matt Taylor's kind of gone, lost his job, and now suddenly all they can do is get results away from home, but they're struggling at home. It's like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. That is an interesting point. I do think they're in good hands under Hurst. I must admit, I do think they're in good hands. I think it's going to be a summer of a lot of change. We did a video a couple of weeks ago about the accounts. Obviously, Shrewsbury are still feeling the effects of, you know, finances, and I do see there being quite some considerable change. I mean, it's only an opinion, really. It's not based on too much insider knowledge, but I will compare the first starting 11 at the start of next season to the last starting 11, and I don't expect there to be that many names that stay on. You never know, do you? But imagine Paul's going to want to get his own players in, and he'll be working with the director of football, Mickey Moore, and they'll be working together to try and strengthen the squad and improve ahead of the new season.
One thing I just want to discuss before we move on to some questions last night, and that was, of course, the return of Mr. Joe Anderson. How did he do? Good to see him back.
Yeah, I mean, it was brilliant. I mean, how difficult that must be for a professional sportsman to, because ultimately you train all week, don't you, for a game, and to train all week to know that you're not going to be in the squad, to know that you're going to have to run around the pitch before the game, must be incredibly difficult. Paul Hurst singled him out after the game, saying that's reward for his professionalism and the way he's conducted himself. So, you know, fair play to him. He was absolutely magnificent on the left side of the back three. What I do like about Anderson is his use of the ball. He seems to use the ball better. He looks to go forward, but he seems to be able to pick out a pass. And he did that pretty well last night. He used the ball very, very well. But I think most importantly, he was in there to defend, and he defended brilliantly, made several really important interceptions and blocks. And to be fair, they all did. So I don't just want to single him out for being really good, but he was really good. Good for him. Really pleased for him, because that must have been a difficult time. That can't be easy as a professional sportsman to be. To be training all the time and to not basically have a look in.
Shall we take some questions from the beautiful people?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay, here we go. First of all, Dave says, do you see any chance of Dunkley or Morosi staying next season? Which you've replied, great question, Dave.
Yeah, a great question, yeah. They like to put me on the spot, don't they, the Shrewsbury fans? I don't know. That will depend on So I suppose what we do know is they were both signed by Steve Cottrell, and he generally went with a higher quality player on higher wages, but a smaller squad. That'll depend on Shrewsbury have options on them both. That'll depend on how Shrewsbury want to structure their football next season. I imagine that those two are both high earners, and it'll depend on, I think it'll very much depend on how they plan. We are all very aware of the financial implications of those accounts and where they find themselves at. You know, Marco Morosi is an outstanding goalkeeper. I don't think there's any question of, you know, should you keep them because of their ability?
Of course.
I would say yes, you would definitely keep them because of their ability. Whether Shrewsbury, you know, can afford to, with the way that I think there'll be some change over at the club next season, the jury very much remains out on that one. I think that'd probably be my best way of answering that question. I really am not sure. I feel like, you know, I suppose you'd be releasing them, wouldn't you, if you didn't give them mm-hmm. contracts.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like releasing Marco Morosi is an absolute PR disaster mm-hmm. class after he will have won, no doubt, probably all the awards, because he's just been magnificent, really. He's been the standout mm-hmm. performer, in my opinion, anyway. It's a challenging one, but it all depends on where Shrewsbury are at from a financial perspective and whether they mm-hmm. feel they can afford it or whether they feel they, you know, they could get a Premier League goalkeeper on very, very minimal wages.
Yeah.
And save a few quid, basically. Are they going to skimp out or not? Is basically mm-hmm. the question that you're asking. And I think right now it's not really the landscape that of where we're aware. I would keep them both personally. I think I've gone on record multiple times to say I think that Marco Morosi could be a Championship goalkeeper. He's
sure,
won
I think I agree.
So
yeah,
many
definitely.
so many points for Town this season. Some brilliant.
I think he
saves.
Could be an understudy for a Premier League goalkeeper, to be honest.
He really is. He really is a great goalkeeper. He doesn't make there's. You judge a goalkeeper like you judge a wicketkeeper in cricket, and I apologise to keep bringing it back to cricket, but you notice them by not noticing them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice a goalkeeper, I mean, generally that means that they're either noticeably outstanding or noticeably bad. Look at Burnley's keepers. Everybody knows that Burnley's goalkeepers are absolutely pants because they keep chucking them in, don't they?
Especially when you're paying 25 million quid for them.
Yeah. I just think Marco, I think he's an outstanding goalkeeper, to be honest. So, we're just going to have to wait and see with that one. But it's a very good question. It's a hard one to answer. Those are my thoughts.
Watch this space. Right, okay. And then the other questions from Chris and Paul, kind of similar, really. But just, you know, asking the questions about why we picked up more points. He kind of alluded to it earlier on the road than at home under Paul Hurst. Paul Hurst's home record isn't great, is it? And Chris has kind of spelled out here, played 8, won 1, drawn 2, lost 5. Four goals, you know, against 12 and points, 5 points. So I mean, obviously, you know, worse than the previous gaffer in terms of a home record, but obviously a lot better away from home. That's what they needed to do. So why is there a stark contrast? You know, like you say, you're going to probably ask Paul this question at the pre-match presser for Charlton, but you know, what can you put your finger on why that might be the case? Is it setup? Is it team selection? Is it you know, mentally something different? That is there an expectation there? They're letting the crowd get to them, or is it all of the above?
I definitely think it's a mental thing. I mean, we've asked Paul Hurst about records home and away before, and he says he doesn't really believe in it. He just basically says it's a field with grass on it, and yeah, okay, the crowd and
an
stuff.
An easy
pop
out that
point,
though, isn't
but,
it?
But yeah, it is. But I don't know. I'm not sure if Shrewsbury fans would probably like my answer to this question, but I feel like the players seem to get up for it when they're playing, or certainly since Hurst has come in. They've seemed to get up for it on the bigger occasions, in the bigger mm-hmm. stadiums, in the bigger attendances. You think back to Derby away, 1-1 draw, good performance. Mm-hmm. Pompey away, league leaders, now champions, decent performance. K lost 3-1. Reading away, good stadium, Championship stadium, previous Premier League club, went there and beat them 3-2. You know, these are big grounds, big occasions. And Paul Hurst, I mean, I'm kind of going to give away my back page story, but he kind of alluded to it a little bit that, you know, it's easy to motivate yourselves for those games as a player. And but actually the atmosphere on Saturday, and don't get me wrong, like, it's down to the players to give the fans something to cheer about. But I have kind of noticed it's felt a little bit flat at the Meadow, and that's probably because we've scored 33 goals this season, and it's not been pretty viewing. And
do you know how many at home?
No, I don't. Do you?
18 at home. And from a record point of view, they are 19th in the table at home this season, and actually 18th in the table away, which is astonishing, really, from where they were.
Yeah.
But 18th in the table away, 19th at home. 8 wins at home this season, albeit with 18 goals scored. And yet 7 of those were not under Hurst, which is quite astonishing, really, when you think about it.
Yeah. And I do think that there's an element of this in play here. The players go into a place like Bolton, knowing they're going to be up against it and rising to the challenge, but they don't seem to be able at the moment, which is bizarre about what we talked about earlier, because it was the other way around earlier in the season, that they couldn't rise to the challenge when they went away from home, but at home on their own patch, they could. So I would say personally, from just, I think there's too many games like it really wouldn't be, I'm going to look like an idiot if this isn't the case, but it really wouldn't surprise me if Shrewsbury go to Charlton on Saturday and produce a decent performance. I'm not saying they're going to get a result, but they churn out a decent performance.
Sure.
And then it equally wouldn't surprise me if they went back to Shropshire against Leighton Orient on the last day of the season and stunk the place out. Like, I don't know. And maybe I'm being a bit harsh there. But that they see at the moment, for sure, they seem to be, I don't know, much, much better on their travels. And I don't know. I don't know whether, you know, is it because, like, at home, you're expected to kind of, you know, take the initiative, sides come away from home and kind of think, and maybe actually, is it that Shrewsbury are more threatening? Because I found this, that Shrewsbury seem more threatening against teams that kind of have a go at them a bit, whereas actually when they're kind of, you know, when there's not a lot of tempo in the game and they're kind of, it's their job to kind of break other sides down, they do seem to struggle a bit more, whereas against sides that are going to have a go at them, you know, they're quite dangerous and quite threatening on the break. We saw that last night at Bolton. So maybe that there's an element of that to it. But it's a great question. It's a great point. I hope I've answered that okay. But I would say that's probably my opinion, to be completely honest with you, Nath.
Like, yeah,
I do think it's a bit, I do think it's strange, and I definitely think there is an element of the players getting, you know, fizzed up to play in these big, you know, these big stadiums, and struggling to do it a little bit more at home in front of 5,000 or 6,000. I mean, there was 20,000 there last night. There was 6,000 there on Saturday. I imagine that there'll be 20,000-ish at the Valley on Saturday, I imagine. So if you're a player, I mean, they're the kind of games you really look forward to in the calendar, aren't they? Bolton away, Pompey away, Derby away, and Town have just managed to really produce performances in those games. So, I mean, slightly bizarre, but there we have it.
Well, it's a nice little segue to Charlton. Like you say, I don't mind going to Charlton. I quite like the Valley. I've been there for about 5 or 6 years now. I assume it's the same situation. I assume you visited it, Ollie, over you, where you go up to the top and it's that, like, front row of seating on the top with your desk.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
It's changed from there. But
your desk, it's like you're a baby, isn't it? With your desk, you're like,
yeah, you're like
you and on your lap. Yeah. Yeah,
you're all little segments, aren't you? All the way across you, side by side. You've got no one really behind you. It's just all, you know, to your right and to your left. It's quite unique, so to speak. I think it needs a little bit of money spending on it, but I think it's
absolutely
not
bloody miles away, though, isn't it?
Well, I don't know, mate. When you got a gaff in London, mate, it's only about 45 minutes on the tube.
Go
stay at mine.
Is that an offer?
Love a night
Is it?
out. Love a night out, mate. Love a night out. Right. So Charlton against Shrewsbury. In terms of team selection, what do you think Paul Hurst will go for? Will there be any changes from Tuesday night?
No, I'm pretty much convinced that it'll be the same team. Yeah, I think he picked a good team. I predicted that he'd bring Elliot Bennett into the side. I think that worked really well. I think he played really well in midfield. I think he showed some real quality on the ball. And he cares. I think that's the big thing. I think that, like, he really does care. I think that was a good choice. So he'll stay. I think the switch to the back three went well. So it really wouldn't surprise me if they stuck to that. And I thought Tamisi Sabawali playing at right wing back really offered an outlet down the right side, and caused Bolton a few problems. So yeah, I'd expect it to stay the way it was. I mean, Jordan Shipley's goal, I don't know if you've seen it, but absolutely brilliant goal. The way he kind of struck it, Beckham Scholes territory from the edge of the box. It's amazing, isn't it? Because Ian Everett came in to do his press match post-game press conference, and he basically spent I don't know how long whinging about the officials for time wasting and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, do me a favour. Like, you just weren't good enough. Like, stop blaming everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love you to have said that in the presser. Can you imagine?
I smiled to myself once. He was talking and I smiled to myself. And I kind of thought I'd made some awkward eye contact. And I thought at one stage he was going to call me out. And I was thinking, oh,
you've got to double down if he asks you. You've got to double down if he asks you.
Oh, I mean, I don't want to, I'll get on a rant, so I don't want to start. But he was he was just utter nonsense. Just keep banging on about time wasting. I mean, they had chances. They didn't take them. They didn't defend very well. I mean, it's always somebody else's. I mean, that's just the case in football. It's always somebody else's fault. You can never, you've never done anything wrong, have you, as a manager? Like, it's always somebody else. So, yeah, sorry. Segue. I'm losing my marbles here. But I do find that, like, big style. Like, it didn't surprise me at all that was the line that kind of was pushed out.
So you're thinking same team. What are we giving away? Because obviously, you know, when I do this pod, and it is on the rare occasion, we'd like to give away something to annoy Mr. Johnny Drury. So what should we give away at this moment in time?
I don't know. You tell me. You...
Let's have a look. Let me go on the Shrewsbury site. Let's see what's there. ShrewsburyShop.com. Is that what it is? Shrewsbury. I'll just call it Shrewsbury Shop. It'll come up. Shrewsbury Shop FC. Okay, let's have a look. Ooh, okay. Some nice things here. Town Club Shop. Okay. I'm going to say, Ollie, well, the away, I mean, the home kit's obviously, you know, your standard. I don't mind the away kit. Or should we go leisure wear? Or should we go training? What do you like? I mean, you know, you've got season coming up. But what's your favourite day? Kit day is obviously your favourite day. But is it your whites? Is it your training gear? What do you get most excited about when it comes to freebies?
Oh, I'm not a kit man.
Oh, you're not?
Yeah, I'm one of them people. I'm not a kit man.
Oh, you're so weird.
I've never been a kit man. I just don't
care.
Really? Yeah,
really?
No. Okay. I mean, right. I don't mind it, but as far as I'm concerned, it's just... I mean, I'm the same I'm the same with equipment as well, to be fair. Everyone, like, you know, like cricket players, like they lay like go to bed with their bats and stuff. And
they love a bat.
It's just a bat. Like,
it's
you
just
know,
a stick of wood, isn't it? It's just a stick of wood. Yeah, okay, I'll tell you what I'll give away this week. And I like it. And I think you'd like this as well, Ollie. And something that you definitely would wear. And we both love it. It's a Shrewsbury Town cracked ice hoodie.
Yep.
Like a hoodie.
What about the new away kit when it comes out?
Oh, now you give it. Now you say it, do you?
What about one of the new shirts when they come out? I'm sure somebody would like to have the new shirt, wouldn't they?
Well, they would do, but it's going to cost me a lot more money than the old shirt. What are you trying to do to me? kill me now. Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's give away a home hoodie and some away red shorts, because I think that looks quite a nice little combo.
Okay.
Away or home shorts are their choice. Bloody
boom.
Hell, boo. Right, I'll go for a score and then I'll leave the floor to you. I'm going to say it will be Charlton Athletic 2, Shrewsbury Town, brave battle, but one. But decent performance. Yeah, I'm gonna. You've got to make sure you've got to retweet Ollie's tweet for the podcast that will be coming up hopefully early this afternoon, and that means you will automatically be entered into the draw, and Ollie will pick a winner of his choosing.
I'm gonna go 2-1 Shrewsbury.
2-1 Shrewsbury, away win. Love to see it.
2-1
Charles,
Shrewsbury. Stay up. What a time to be alive.
What time you got to leave the old household, the old Shea Westbury, Saturday morning?
On Saturday, I reckon it's going to be an early start, probably between 8 and 8:30. I'm doing it. So I actually took my other half to Charlton last season.
Brave.
To see some friends in London who were Charlton season ticket holders, so she went to the game. Shrewsbury lost 6-0, but I drove there and she drove back as I was working in the thing.
Yeah.
But it took us about 4.5 to 5 hours to get there because she took us through central London. So there was some serious falling outs that kind of happened.
Behind the scenes.
Bickering. We do a lot of bickering. So we were doing some bickering on the way down to the big
early love stage, mate. That early love stage, well, mate. You always go a little bit of a bicker.
Yeah, she's actually off to Hong Kong, so she's not coming with me this week. So
that would definitely be a long road trip if you're doing it by Hong Kong, mate.
Yeah, it would be. It would be, yeah. So there you go.
Okay. Coffee for you in the morning, first thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
100%.
I have an unhealthy relationship with coffee. Far too much. I've already had three.
Me and you both. Oh, okay. Got my little Dunkin' Donuts espresso.
Nice.
Yeah, I like it, mate.
I've got my Christmas mug here. It's got...
They're going, this is a crap ending to the podcast. What are you doing? Ollie, been a pleasure, my friend. I shall speak to you very, very soon. Enjoy London. Enjoy a 2-1 win, and hopefully we'll give away a home hoodie and an away shorts from this season. And we'll do discussions off camera about maybe before the end of the season a new away shirt. Thanks very much.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.